Hello and welcome to Fish Fingers and Custard Explosion Network's after show, where we break down and discuss each and every episode of Doctor Who. Welcome to season 1 slash season 14 slash episode 2 and 3 slash episode
1 and 2.
1 and 2, depending on what country you're in. And according to us, Disney Plus was like, there's 3 new episodes out. And
I was it's triple 3-episode premiere. If you've never watched the show before, it's a 3-episode premiere.
I was like, cool. All right. Way to confuse and just really make everything harder. But anyway, here we are. All right. So the first official 2 episodes of Shooty Got was debut proper season, following, of course, the Christmas special. Double episode, but not connected. So it starts with babies on board, then goes into the Devil's Call.
What do you mean, babies on board? The first episode was Space Babies.
Space Babies, sorry. Space Babies. And then goes into Devil's Cord. The one is ultra silly, I guess, and like starts very tonally out there. And then the second one's more in line with the, I guess, the Christmas special and stuff. Both written by Russell T. Davies, who's returned to helm executive produce the show now. What did you make of the 2 episodes, Ash?
It was a lot of fun. I'm enjoying the dynamic so far. I'm enjoying kind of the tone that they're playing with. It's a little bit more lighter than, you know. Some of my favorite Doctor Who, which is probably the Moffat era. I guess it is kind of evocative of the reboot season, of the Eccleston season, you know, of it's maybe a little bit extra silly because, you know, Shooty can do that kind of humor that maybe Eccleston couldn't do. But yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. They are laying the hints of what we could be expecting for the rest of the season, or the 3 lines in that kind of regard. Maybe Russell is a little bit heavy-handed with like the lore recap, or like introducing new ideas to the new audience and fans and that kind of stuff, and just dropping random facts about the Doctor all over the place. But I'm having a good time so far. We had an episode dedicated to babies, you know, talking babies. There was an era in the period in the 90s when there was just nothing but talking baby movies, and they went away. Now we got an episode dedicated to it. It's great.
Now they're back, basically.
Yep. What'd you think?
I enjoyed them both. I think the first episode's the weakest, but simply just because it does, I think that first like 10 or so minutes especially just very much feels like, and it's fine. Like it's the most like episode one. They're treating it like ground zero for anyone coming in fresh to the series, sort of thing. Like they're trying to tie in as many. How many ways can we throw out random facts and stuff without the dialogue feeling too much forced, like we're just speaking to the audience? But you know, like they cover a lot in a short period. I feel they're like Gallifrey, Time Lord, Doctor. Oh, that's my name. Here's the thing, Gallifrey. People,
they're all dead.
TARDIS, time relatives, dimension and space. You know, like everyone's dead. Blah blah. Like it goes for a lot in a short period of time. But it's also like it just feels weird. Obviously, when you
also here's how time travel works.
Yeah,
this is why we don't affect time in any way when we do our adventures.
So like, let me just
we turn on a button.
So this little thing, this button explains. Yeah, they're like all the questions of how do they know it affect things in time? It's like, well, they did. They crushed a butterfly and that affected time, but only because he forgot to turn a button on. So then in the future, anyone who questions it goes, well, it's fine because he turned the button on. What does the button actually do? Fuck knows. But anyway.
Yep.
Like the easiest way just to answer any and all early questions that people might have about Doctor Who, I guess, as a show. Randomly throws out he's got 2 hearts. Randomly throws out that, you know, even fucking, I can't remember if it was this episode or the second, no, I think it was the second episode, starts mentioning the first Doctor, starts mentioning Susan, all this shit. Like,
yeah, I got cranky.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened to him.
Don't know what happened. They might be dead. Cool. Yeah. Throwing out some wild stuff in that first, the first 2 episodes here just to get everyone adapted into it. All right, so focus a little bit more on the first episode, Space Babies. Weird, right?
Yeah.
It's weird. CGI mouse, right? I think I give them props because choosing to film with babies, like,
the golden rule. Don't film with babies or animals. Kids or animals, I guess.
Yeah. And they got all these babies on set, which would have been a lot. And then you're only probably allowed to film with them, you know, probably for 2 hours max at a time or some whatever the rule is.
Yeah, something like that.
You know? So then the second you start doing stuff with babies, it's like you're complicating your own life. But here we are. CGI mouse look fine, but still looks weird because obviously you'll have like whatever the main one's name was, like Kevin or whatever. Like he'll be like, I'm so happy to be here. But his eyes are saying, looking around everywhere going, what the fuck's happening? Where am I? Who are you? But the, you know, they've done the mouse like, oh, thanks. I love you. I love you, Ruby. You know, like, Ruby, you're my favorite. Where the fuck am I? It's like, you just can't. Yeah. I mean, you can't get away around that. I guess it's, use real baby CGI their mouse. You get what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I didn't hate it. I've seen some reactions online of people saying it's terrible.
I just think, you know, it sets a tone, you know. This is the level of special effects and that kind of stuff you can get used to in Doctor Who, even with this budget, you know.
Hmm.
It's just part of the charm. So yeah. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. Booger Monster, though, pretty gross.
Yep. I don't know how you make claws and massive teeth out of boogers, but apparently that's a thing. Kids making that much boogers after.
I mean, how long did I say it's been? Like, yeah, 6 years.
6 years.
Yeah, surely. Like 10 babies over 6 years? Yeah.
All right. It just seems like a lot. I guess if you're blowing their nose constantly,
every day.
Mm.
And babies get a lot of mucus, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know where it comes from, but.
I wish I knew right now. So I can stop it.
And then the episode ends with them basically farting back to.
Yeah. Their solution.
Yeah.
We're just going to fart our way to another planet so we can be refugees. Yep. Just like in the real world.
Just like in the real world.
Where all problems are solved by flatulence. The release of methane to fix everything.
I mean, I get it. It's like, it's one of those things you could be like, this is dumb, but I'm also like, well, if you've got a bunch of babies stranded somewhere, like, scientifically, does add up, right?
I don't think it does, you know?
Like, well, I can at least.
I think you actually need to ignite that gas to create a propulsion.
Yeah, but I thought that's what they did, like, somehow.
I think they just opened the hatch and.
Oh, and then they just randomly farted?
It got sucked out into the vacuum of space.
I assume they lit it somehow.
Maybe.
When the doctor pressed the button, he'd already like set something up to light that. I don't know. The sonic screwdriver does everything now. Maybe he just pointed at it and he lit the nappies on fire or whatever.
Mm.
Burn that shit, literally.
I know. My only thing is, why do you fight so hard to save the monster? You don't think the doctor's killed a bunch of aliens in the past? Monsters trying to kill him?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, they kept just saying it was part of them, right? Like,
is it though?
One of them. I don't know.
You don't know how sentient actually is, you know?
I mean, that's going down. Not to jump too far ahead, just put a pin in this until we come back to it, just so I don't get too all over the place here. But I was taking the saving the monster that's brought to life by imagination, potentially tying back to Ruby.
Hmm. Okay.
If you want to pin that until you get to the end of the second episode. So, yeah, I mean, first episode, pretty straightforward, bit of fun. Introduction to Doctor Who. Here's his characters. First adventure. First adventure, usually for any doctor, is pretty...
pretty tame. Usually, or like, for most of them, it's like, let's go some crazy space place.
Mm.
No?
run around, do all your big, like, oh my God, it's crazy, I'm in space for the first time. Or, oh my God, like, I've never seen aliens before.
What?
All those sorts of things. Oh my God, I've never seen a baby. Wait, hold on, no, she would have seen a baby. Oh my God, I've never seen a booger monster before. Wait.
Yeah, she's seen a lot of babies before, so.
Yeah. She's seen a lot of
babies. Seen a talking baby.
Never seen a talking baby, true. So, that was the first. Then we go to the next episode and starts this really funny moment, I think, where the doctor's, like, where it starts with Ruby being like, well, I'm skipping ahead past the prologue, but when Ruby and the doctor just like, she's like, I want to go see when they're recording, the Beatles are recording. I thought it shoot his like face of like, at first I thought he was just going to be like, that's dumb. But I think it's just the turnaround to, that is such a good idea. Like, I thought that was fun. Yeah. And then the nearly marching out to the 60s in their current clothes. Although part of me was like, oh no, your clothes feel like they could. Her clothes look like they probably could still fit in the 60s.
Fit anyway, any time.
Yeah. Like the 60s are back in at the moment, surely. I think.
Lots of interesting camera work inside the TARDIS.
Mm.
Like obviously there's that shot of them walking to a room off from the main room and then walking out with the costumes.
Yeah. Which I really
the camera's
like.
Kind of floating around.
Yeah.
Which helps with the new layout of the TARDIS with all the walkways and that kind of stuff.
I really like that though. Like I've got lots of wigs. Or whatever. I've got so many wigs.
Oh man, Shooter's gonna have so much fun.
Yeah,
with all the outfits and that kind of stuff. So,
I'd like to see more costume changes and stuff for the Doctor and Doctor companions, rather than just sticking to
the outfit.
One core outfit, just because it makes a better like figurine or some shit. You know. Like,
yeah.
So that's fun. Obviously, then they head out to the 60s. Now, we meet the big bad of this episode is, and I was like sort of shocked that we got to something this relevant this fast, if you know what I mean. Like, obviously, so the maestro,
yes,
is the...
I think they said daughter.
Daughter, I was going to say.
The Toymaker.
I was like, sister or daughter? I can't remember. Daughter of the Toymaker. There you go. Daughter of the Toymaker. Which makes sense, I guess, at the end of the Christmas special, Toymaker says something about how he's going to call his legions or some shit. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay, whatever that means. That I assume we'll just come back to that, you know, towards the end of the first season. So, you know, second episode in, here's a sibling of... he's a offspring even of a...
Yeah, a child of the maker. Elemental force known as the Toymaker.
Yeah, that's crazy, I thought. I did not see that coming, to be honest. What do you make of the maestro?
Yeah, even more wacky craziness. Obviously, you know, lots of crazy visual effects and that kind of thing, like with the musical staves all over the place, like wrapping people up and lots of jokes about music and that kind of stuff and like... I thought the episode worked very well in the idea of, oh, the world would turn to shit if music went away.
It's literally like the world dies without music.
It's like, oh, what? How are people supposed to beef with each other if there's no music? You know?
Which is crazy.
Yeah. And I love the setup of, like, you know, they go in waiting for the Beatles to record, and it's like the literal worst possible song that they could deliver. Like, the most nothing... Would not want to listen to it ever again. So,
yep. Yep.
And it's the Beatles. Yep.
I can't remember what it was. I was like, it was nearly like the
Wheels. It was like just a bunch of facts.
Round and round.
Yeah, nearly. They go in, and another lady's talking about what day it is or whatever, singing about that. Yep. They go in to see the orchestra. They're playing Three Blind Mice.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Jinx Monsoon? There we go. Fantastic performance.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
wild, wacky, definitely matched the...
energy that Neil Patrick Harris brought.
Yeah, matched the energy that Neil Patrick Harris brought and probably then some, to be honest. Really cool. It just makes me think... And I never really thought about it, I guess, to what the through blind this season could be. But, you know, so what, the Toymaker is like the master of all things within the box. And then we've had someone come out of the box and they're like the you know, music person. Like, what else are we going to get? you know?
Mm.
Like, how many other elements and twists and stuff, like, are we going to get? And that, then the other part I was thinking is, like, there's so many, like, fourth wall breaks in this episode. Is that going to be a continuing thing? Just because, like, I don't know. Sort of make these meta...
Well, is that a hint? Is that a hint? You know, that is that a thing that these other dimensional figures do? They fourth wall break.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the Christmas special, we had the neighbor lady break the fourth wall.
Yeah. Which, did you realize that she was in this the second episode as well?
No.
So, just to go down the rabbit hole of even more confusing things. Because the thing is, so now I'm like, any character that breaks the fourth wall has to be connected to the toy maker. At least that's the what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, that's the
proven wrong.
The precedent they've set.
Yeah. So the lady, and I can't remember the actress's name on top of it, but that actress was in this episode as the cafeteria lady that, like, when they, she just starts telling a random story. Yeah. Exact same actress.
Wow. Didn't pick it.
No, neither did I. I saw this. I saw someone pointed out on Twitter or whatever.
Mm.
But apparently she was also in another episode from the season before. So she's, and apparently she's listed as credited for multiple episodes in the coming season.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
Big bad.
Potentially, after all those jokes at the end of the Christmas special about what does that mean? Who's this person? Blah, blah, blah. And sort of part, I think I said, like, nothing. It's just a...
Yeah, just a joke.
It's just a wink and nod, you know, whatever. It doesn't actually mean anything. It obviously means something now. They're not putting the same fucking actress in as multiple characters.
The budget isn't that small.
Yeah, the budget isn't that small, exactly. So, I'll try and find the... Yeah, I mean, what do you reckon that means? Like, what's the...
Well, I mean, they pretty much hint that, you know, some sort of extra dimensional being was there at the birth of Ruby, you know, was there on that Christmas day or whatever. And we do get the constant, you know, visual effect of snowing when they're looking at Ruby or whatever at certain points.
Yeah, so it starts snowing in the first episode. When she's talking about that, and then it starts snowing in this episode when she's hung up in the sky or whatever.
Yeah. And then it's also snowing in the TARDIS when he's like pulling up the scans or whatever she did. He didn't know.
Yeah. Which I don't know. I couldn't really make out nothing.
I don't think there was anything to tell. It was just basic.
Well, it said like scan in progress or something. So it's sort of hard to make out what it meant.
Also, was he going to tell her what his name was? It's like, oh yeah, my name was... Everybody had their name. My name was, and then walk out the door.
Yeah. I mean...
He's very open, this doctor.
He is weird, because I guess the other thing to touch on with this doctor that I found interesting is coming off the Christmas special, Ruby Road or whatever it was called, and they split, obviously, from David Tennant. He gets Judy Gottwell's doctor. And I thought the whole thing was supposed to be that he isn't, doesn't carry as much of the baggage or whatever that the other doctor does. And that's the whole point of them being split.
I think he's dealt with the baggage.
But he's still got a lot of his own fears and stuff. Because as soon as he thinks that the maestro is the toy maker, freaks the fuck out, hides. And then also in the first episode, when he sees the monster for the first time, runs.
Well, that was a biological thing.
Well, yeah. But also they make a point. They point out the fact that he was questioning why he would do that, you know? So, I don't know. Because I thought the whole point was that it obviously is not supposed to.
I think even though you've dealt with trauma and that kind of stuff, doesn't make you not scared of things.
True, I guess.
And I mean, the thing they did tell you in two, you know, you would be scared of. So, can you imagine four doctors? No, I guess it would be three. Three doctors running around at the same time.
that's not.
Well, I think we have seen three Doctors at the same time, but that's beside the point.
All right, Ruby. So, obviously, that big moment, the only reason she escapes from being, like, hung up by the Maestro there at one stage is because this, like...
Because Paul McCartney and John Lennon show up and they figure out what the Devil's Chord is.
Well, that, but also a song starts playing within her or whatever and starts freaking the Maestro out and the snow and whatever that means. And the song's This Is Christmas or whatever it is, I don't know. A Christmas song either way starts playing. And then pair that with the thing I was saying before about like... But so the snow happens whenever she thinks about it. It seems to be a thing. Mm-hmm. Like imagine... there seems to just be a lot of imagination themes, which is why I think I was saying thinking back on the saving the Booger Monster, a thing that was created from imagination. You know, like I don't know how. What are you feeling with the fact that the Doctor saw that flashback to that same night, and you know,
yeah,
like
well, I mean, the implication either is that Ruby is directly related to those beings,
mm-hmm.
or the Doctor is directly tied to those beings.
Who's that mate, Ruby, though?
Just a innocent bystander who came into contact with two extraterrestrial beings at the same time. I don't know.
I don't know. There's definitely something up about it. Unless it's
there's definitely something up with Ruby, and, you know, that's what the mystery of the whole season is going to be. So, which is exciting because, you know, there's clear goals this season.
Which is crazy. Yeah, well, not used to having fucking goals, are we?
Not used to having like an overarching story.
Story that, well, for the last few seasons. Story, yeah. Well, I guess that's why it shocked me so much. Like, I'm so used to like the last few seasons, Doctor. It's like episode one, introduce Big Bad. Never talk about them again until like episode 12.
Yeah. It's like, oh, they came back.
You know?
Somehow.
Whereas it's like, introduce Big Bad. Oh, my legions are coming. Here's a legion, two episodes in. Okay. I didn't know you were allowed to do that. You know? So, interesting. Fuck, else was I going to say? There was something I was going to say. Quickly before I forget, also, Stephen Moffat next week, so you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. His first...
Next week's episode called Boom.
Yep. So, first Stephen Moffat written Doctor Who episode in fuck knows how long.
5 years.
A long time. Long, long time. Anything else from I guess that mainly the second episode had a bit more going on in it than...
No, just like the kind of hints and, you know. I think the weird musical number at the end, that was kind of like very odd.
I'm assuming that's going to continue.
Yeah, probably.
Not musical numbers, but like, because it was fourth wall breaking again, right?
Kind of, I guess.
The Doctor literally says, turns to the camera, says, there's always a twist. And they start playing that song. This is after the Maestro plays in Doctor Who theme song at the start.
Yeah.
So, I'm not taking it as, oh, for shits and giggles, let's do another.
Let's do a musical number.
Let's do another musical
number. No, there's a reason why they jumped into a musical number. They lie. There's always a twist.
There's always a twist. I mean, let's not even forget.
And then there was no actual twist at the end of the episode.
But the song was a twist, you know.
Or
let's not forget the fact that Church on Ruby Road also had a musical number.
It did.
So maybe it is a thing. Maybe musical numbers are...
Maybe this is just a musical show now.
Yeah. Or at least this season. Just a musical season.
Yeah. The babies were actually singing the entire time. We didn't realize.
It was all that
for the translation.
Yeah. Could be. So two episodes in, how are you feeling? Excited?
Yeah, I'm keen. You know, it's fun. Trudy's fun, you know. So his deliveries are on point. So, you know, lots of laughs and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't think it was too like groundbreaking episodes or anything like that, but it was like, it was a decent season.
They're not the best episodes of Doctor Who I've ever seen, but they're enjoyable.
Not saying it's a bad thing, but it's just like episode one, decent, episode two. I thought it was good. But all in all, enjoying my time with the two stars, you know?
Yeah.
Between Shudi and Millie. You know? Excited about Doctor Who, I guess. I
don't know. Yeah. It's nice to be excited about Doctor Who again.
Yeah. It's excited to want to watch the show, not just because
out of obligation. Yeah.
Out of obligation, nearly, you know? Or sitting here going, this might be the one good episode this season.
Yeah.
You know? So, good times. All right. Thank you for joining us this week on Fish Fingers and Custard. Back next week to discuss the next episode of Doctor Who. Of course, back as we just said, Steve Moffat, boom, next week. So, be interesting to see what that one's about.
Mm.
Follow us on Twitter, explosionnetwork.com/Twitter. Takes you to our X page. Sorry, I said Twitter, it's X, but anyway, /Twitter. Join us on Discord, explosionnetwork.com/Discord. And if you want to support the show, find out the website, explosionnetwork.com/support, takes you to our Ko-fi page. Or you can just check out explosionnetwork.com for other great podcasts and stuff over on that platform over there. Until next week. I don't know what this doctor's, doesn't really have a...
He doesn't have a catchphrase yet.
He doesn't have a catchphrase yet, so... Probably just end the show there.
Yeah, sounds good.